Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. This is a special edition with my good friend Jason Caston. Jason, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, man, glad to be here. Going to have some fun.
Yeah, we always have fun connecting. You and I have been friends now for many years. We were both kind of interviewees on this, and I'm excited now to be co-hosting with Jay. And so we are going to be talking about some fun stuff today that you and I, off you know, camera, I guess, or off audio recording or whatever you want to call this, talk about all the time and through Facebook and texting and whenever we're face to face, and we just geek out over these fun toys. So we're going to talk about the Internet of Things, or many, you know, wearables and beacons. There's just so much cool technology coming out. I'm hyped about virtual reality. So let's start there. I've been tweeting a little bit about my new favorite toy. For those watching on YouTube, are my new $5 Google virtual reality goggles that I put my iPhone in, and I can do virtual reality, and it's legit. I mean, I've done Oculus Rift. It's not much different. What are your thoughts on virtual reality as a first point of conversation?
Well, I like that even with the Google cardboard or Google glasses, I'm not sure exactly what they called it, the Google cardboard that you had, the way they made it so that it integrated with the phone, I thought that was huge as far as making it people able to adopt it sooner than like the Oculus Rift, where you have to buy yet another device. So that was helpful to see it. And then the first way I was exposed to it was at CES, a vendor from China had like a $10 pair of glasses that we kind of put your phone in, and then you know, you download some apps as well. But that little $10 glasses that I put my phone in, similar to the Google Cardboard, was just a quick way for me to get introduced. And then I didn't know they had all those virtual reality apps inside the app store.
Right.
So I started playing with those. One of them I played with was a roller coaster. And for about 8 seconds, I really got lost inside the app real quick and thought I was on it. So I had to, like, you know, find something to hold on to.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. I like the way that, to me, it looks like we're going to have fully immersive games real soon, thinking all the way up. Because right now we're thinking like, okay, you got cardboard, you got your phone. We got to think like our kids are going to be playing in the holodeck from Star Trek. I'm telling you, I think they're already building something like that. But that's where it's going.
So. Yeah, and I've got, you've got young kids as well. I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I love to put on, you know, the roller coaster app for my girls, and they start screaming. You know, I'm like, just take the goggles off if you're scared.
Yeah.
That immersive experience, it feels so real. It's really pretty crazy and so engaging. What do you think, you know, from a church content, you know, perspective? A lot of times people think, oh, that's cool for gaming, or, you know, you and I both know, if we're honest, the pornography industry is the one that's really digging into this.
Exactly.
And so there's kind of a dark world there, and the church with the internet was like, oh, porn is there, so we don't want to be there, so we don't want to have a church website. Mm-hmm. Where should the church kind of lead this conversation, and how do you think, where do you see this going? Is this relevant for church leaders?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we got two things going on. Let's look at virtual reality, and then I'm going to jump into augmented reality. So for virtual reality, let's say you have a church app, and me and you have worked with our churches, and they have apps. But think about a fully immersive sermon. I mean, really, you know, from a much more engaging audio, where you actually feel like you're sitting in the congregation after you put these virtual reality glasses on, and you feel like you're in the fourth row, and you can hear people around you and all that type of stuff. That's what type of church experience we're looking at, internet church experience we're looking at, instead of people associating it with, I'm staring at a screen. Yeah, you are, but now we're going to make it much more immersive. And then on the flip side, if we look at how this was used in augmented reality, I don't know if you remember when, I forget what award show it was, but Michael Jackson was on the stage. They did a whole show around him, I think, with on a screen. And then at Coachella a few years back, Tupac came out on stage.
Yeah.
Like that. When you look at those type of reality experiences, let's say, you know, a church that we have out here in Texas, you know, we got those huge mega churches. If you went and sat in a sanctuary on a Wednesday to visit a church and there's no service going on, but you're just visiting, kind of like you visit Jerry's World with no Cowboys games.
Right.
If you sat in the fourth row and they gave you these glasses and said you could sit there and watch an actual augmented reality sermon happen on stage, that type of immersive experience would bring a whole new level. to the church experience, as opposed to just limiting it to Wednesdays or Sundays. Now we're talking about, you know, a 24/7 immersive experience at the building, because a lot of people think you only have church at the building. So we have virtual experience at the building.
Sure. So explain the difference between a virtual reality and augmented reality. Those words, terms, what is the difference there?
Well, virtual reality is a fully virtual environment. So it's more along the lines of, you know, where you put those glasses on and all you're watching is the screen, but it feels like it's submerging you. Augmented reality is half virtual and half actual reality. So where you could point your phone at something and you'll see and using the camera, and you'll see a virtual component to it, but it's pointed at something actually happening in the offline world. So when you bring those two together, that's where the augmented reality comes in.
Interesting. You know, yeah, who knows? Maybe Billy Graham can preach a sermon leading people to Jesus, you know, after he passes away, or, you know, who knows what's possible. And you start thinking about that, and it's like, is that okay? Is that weird? Is that, you know, I think what, you know, if you were to think 15 years ago, what we do on Facebook and Twitter and the way we're connected would sound so bizarre, that what the world will look like 15 years from now might sound bizarre to us now, but our future reality is going to be so different from what we understand today, for good or bad, you know, but it's going to be different. I think that is our reality. Let's keep going down this path a little bit. You and I were talking a little bit before this call about, you know, mobile is changing everything. We've known that for a while. And we talked about beacons. You were at a conference recently where beacons were involved. The history, so this is, as I understand it, but you help us out here, that scans were a big deal in the past. So QR codes are a big deal. I say a big deal. I felt like they never really caught on, but that seemed to be the trend. The trend seems to be moving towards beacons and things like that. Can you explain what are people doing with beacons and mobile devices, and how do they work, and what does the church need to be aware of with these?
Oh, cool. Yeah. Beacons are basically they call them low energy Bluetooth emitting a little beacon. It could be something that looks like it's about the size of a rock. And you put it in a particular location, and when people walk past that location, it emits a signal to the app that, you know, whatever your church app or your event app, and whatever that message is, it basically pushes that message out. So what a good example I've seen it used at is when you go to the movie theater, and whatever movie's showing, you walk in, all of a sudden the AMC app says, hey, you know, The Dark Knight is showing in, you know, Theater 16. You want to get tickets? Click here. So that way they're basically marketing to you as you walk past certain areas. What we did at the conference was, depending on where they were located, we gave them a different message at a different time. So if they were located near a person who was speaking on, like when I was speaking on Internet Church, then you came by where I was speaking at, we would say, okay, come here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Jason's talking about this topic here, you know, and if you want to add it to your schedule, click here. So we just basically, it's just looking at where as people were moving through the venue, we were giving them different messages and then also guiding them to where we wanted to be. Very much like Disney and what does Disney have? Those new bracelets. I can't think of the name of them.
They're tracking you around the park.
Exactly. Those Disney bands. Disney bands and them tracking you around the park, that's all. And they're basically looking at, that's all Bluetooth, the way they're tracking where you're at. So if we start to know who's at our conferences, that's from people signing up, we got those demographics, then we know what they're learning based on the classes we have, and we know their migration patterns, and we know the messaging, all that type of stuff. Now we can market to them and basically minister to them much better. Translate that into the church. You know, when you come to church, you know that people moving around the building for different things. Parents are taking their kids to children's ministry. The youth, they're trying to go wherever they can, et cetera. So if we know where everybody's going and we know how we can send them different messages about different ministries, no matter where they're at in the building, well, now you're basically staying connected to people. And so me, you're talking about our realities. Our realities in the future are going to be never disconnected. There are going to be lines of blur between online and offline, and we'll always be connected.
Yeah. You know, I think it's such a smart concept to begin to thinking about the digital coming to our physical space, because oftentimes we think about digital connecting people when they're away from our physical space, not necessarily engaging them when they're on our physical space. I think there's huge opportunities, probably immediate opportunities with kids check-in, it's almost silly when you think about, we're all printing little stickers and paper and, you know, those kind of things that the security I think can be increased by going digital. And then there's so many opportunities with the rooms, with the spaces, and how you can use those beacons for messaging purposes or when they drive into your parking lot. I recently, you know, when Living Social used to be a thing like 2 years ago, I don't know if people still use it. It's crazy, the trends, but I remember Living Social sending me a push message when I drove by, you know, a restaurant or something that I had a Living Social deal on, saying, do you want to use your Living Social deal? You're right next to this place. And it kind of freaked me out. Like, they know where I am to send me a push message that I was right there. And I thought, man, that was smart, because I didn't go by it at the time, but I thought about it. And if I had some extra time, I probably would have, that it really was engaging based on my location. And I think as churches, we have that opportunity to do that through beacon technology, and that's only going to grow and increase. And that trend just seems to be on the front edge. I think that's too, where mobile apps are going to become a more significant part about what we're doing and how we're connecting. And I think there's social opportunities around that too, as you're tracking people and connecting with other people that are there on your campus. And then that connection comes where, when you're on the campus, you might not even have to get a push message on your phone, because you're getting it on your watch. You and I both are rocking our Apple Watches.
Yes, sir.
You're more connected than ever. You and I were just talking about it. Like, we travel a lot. This is crazy to think, because a year ago, I wasn't even using my phone to scan onto a plane. I was still printing boarding passes. Now I moved to my phone. Now I've moved to my watch. This is my boarding pass on my wrist.
Yeah.
Now to get on a flight, the world is changing fast. So talk about wearable technologies, your Apple Watch, what you think, and what you see happening there around the wearables.
Oh, I think that, the Apple Watch, I think, one, I like the way it opened people's minds to the wearables market. I mean, Fitbit was already there. Android has had their watches out for, I don't know, a year or so, maybe a couple years. And so they were all early people to the space. Apple, just because of their marketing machine and their brand recognition, they gave mass adoption to it. I think that now people are looking at wearables as how it'll be integrated into our everyday lives. And what it's going to do is simply give us more information, but give us the opportunity to access it quicker. It's not going to make it less intrusive, where, like, if you're at dinner, you see everybody looking at their phone. Now they're going to be looking at their watches. It's just another screen.
Right.
But it's going to make information, you know, accessible to us faster. Like, instead of me pulling out my phone and taking 2 or 3 seconds to pull out my phone, they call that friction for me getting to the information. There's less friction, because all I have to do is, you know, flick of the wrist, and I can see, you know, see that quick notification. So that, and I think that now we're looking at, but here's the good part about wearables.
Yeah.
So now let's look at it from, you know, our perspective, what me and you, health-wise. We have a much better view of our bodies becoming more transparent, because our watches and our wearables can give us more information about our bodies.
Yeah.
It lets me know how long. Well, the best thing my watch does out of everything is it tells me once an hour that you need to stand.
Stand up. I was going to say
that's crazy.
Yes.
So, and that's the best part to me, other than that.
Because you and I are sitting at computers all day. And
don't even notice.
This watch is telling us, hey, you need to stand up.
That's the best part. I mean, and then also, you know, they said it with the update and generation 2 watch, versions 2 and 3, they're going to be able to tell you more about your heartbeat and, you know, some more biometrics. If you're measuring my biometrics, you know, obviously, statistically, men don't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
But men are into technology. So now I have something that can tell me, you know, hey, here's what's going on with your body on a lightweight level, you know, obviously not in depth. Yeah. But it's just something that I, as a man, will look at and say, okay, well, if the watch told me that, then maybe I need to go check out the doctor, as opposed to my wife saying, hey, you need to go to the doctor. And I'm like, oh, wait, why are you just telling me to go? You just want me to go because you know I'm scared to go, et cetera, stuff like that. So I do like stuff like that.
Yeah.
But overall, wearables are just going to give us more information about ourselves and about what's going on around us. And that's what technology continues to do.
Yeah, I love it. So I got a question about your Apple Watch. What did you do with the box? Did you keep the box or did you trash the box?
Oh, I kept the box. It's an experience.
Yeah, I've got mine right here. This right here is, I felt like I was opening up a Rolex, you know?
Really?
You get this big plastic thing right here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but here's the deal. What do I do with this? I'm never going to use it again, but I can't throw it away because it's such a cool box.
That's the thing. I have mine next to my bed. I look at it every night before I go to sleep.
It just makes you happy.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do with it, but I have all my Apple boxes.
You keep them all, huh?
I don't know. I can't throw them. I can't bring myself to throw them away, like you said. But I will never use them again. So now they'll just be my own personal museum. Apple.
Yeah, when we moved to New York, we had we went from 2,700 square feet to 700, and my wife made me throw away my Apple boxes. And that was a hard thing for me. I mean, I threw away all kinds of stuff. The Apple boxes that I don't use were the hardest thing for me to throw away. I don't know what it is about the boxes, but they took it to a new level with the Apple Watch.
Yeah, they definitely did. I don't know. My wife would have told me to throw away my Apple boxes. I don't know. Maybe we had to reevaluate the relationship or something. Let me stop before she comes crash this whole broadcast right now.
We'll think about editing that part out. We'll see. So tell me, you just got your Apple Watch. Is there anything you were disappointed in getting the Apple Watch, or anything that really surprised you, like other than the stand up function, which for me, I was like, my phone's telling me to stand up, but I'm appreciating that. What else surprised you about it,
Surprised me in a bad perspective is how useless the apps are. Yeah. Right now, the apps, I guess, first generation, I expected the apps to not be that great. I expect to just really have the watch just to say, to my geek friends like you, hey, buddy, I got one too. And then when I speak in front of crowds, I've, pulled out the watch to show, hey, I know what I'm talking about. I have an Apple Watch. It validates me somehow, and laugh about that. The apps are useless right now. I think it's going to take till the next version comes out next year for they'll be really good. They load slow. The screen is really hard to use as it's small, and the watch faces don't have nearly enough for this to be an open platform, not just a watch. So once they get that up to date and up to speed, which I think will be next year and the following years, I think it'll be much more useful. But right now, it's more of a show tool and a health tool to me than anything else. And then of course the check-in feature that me and you both use. I tried to use it for Uber, to call an Uber.
Yeah.
It took too long to load. And then I've used it for Shazam when I've been in the car.
Okay.
Trying to figure out a song. So yeah. I did use it for that. And then I've answered the phone call with it. And that's it's cool, but it's hard to hear somebody when you're in a room full of people trying to show off your Apple Watch. You could answer a phone call.
Yeah. I was surprised by how good the phone call feature was, but that was in a quiet room by myself. You couldn't be in a crowded room and take the call. The one thing that I think will be out on it soon is as a little camera. I think it'd be fun to FaceTime watch to watch.
Oh yeah,
but they've got to hold out some features on us so that we'll have to buy the next one that comes out.
Absolutely,
and so that's the Apple is so smart with that. But I'm with you. I think the device is better than I expected. Mm-hmm. But the apps will get better. I mean, you look at the first generation iPhone apps, and people just didn't know what to do with it, and then they got better and better and how to utilize this space. I like too, and it's a small thing because I had the Pebble before. So the watch knows when I go to look at it because the way I tilt my wrist. And it turns on. I don't know how they're, I guess I know how they do that, but I think that's a pretty cool feature, how it just automatically turns off when my wrist is facing away from me and automatically turns on when it's facing me. So
yeah, that's by far one of the best, most innovative features ever, which you would think, okay, maybe use the gyrometer or whatever, accelerometer, whatever you call it, and measure the degrees that you're tilting your wrist. But it's like, doesn't people tilt their wrist differently? I don't know. Different size wrist. I don't know, but that works every time. So I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up this conversation. Jason, is there any other thoughts or you're always on the front edge that churches need to be paying attention to when it comes to technology and social media?
Oh, I think in terms of technology, here's the thing that I think churches need to pay attention to. Me and you just had, me and you geeked out for the last 20 minutes or so. We laughed about these new technologies.
Yeah.
But the key thing that me and you talked about was we talked about our kids and what their futures will be like. Yeah. And this technology to them, this will be Betamax and 8-tracks to them.
Yeah.
And our kids, this is the oldest technology that they'll see. So with me and you talking and other friends we have, Jay included, that are leading on the front lines, we have to help the churches understand, you have to get a hold of this technology. We don't want the church to become irrelevant at all. But if they don't get ahead of this technology, it's only moving faster and getting better. And so it will be much more difficult for the church to consistently reach people if it doesn't understand the technology that's moving you know, with new technology coming out every 3 to 6 months. So that's the one thing I really say is the most important thing is I let people know those, you know, you look at the generation that's coming next and you want to reach them. And every church wants to stay relevant past the current generation. And I say, okay, well, the iPad that we're struggling to get apps on, that's old news to them.
Yeah,
they're already coming with what's next, especially with social media. Facebook was cool. The kids are on Snapchat. And they'll be on Snapchat until us old people get on it. And then they're going to move to something new. So that's the key thing. We just got to say we got to get ahead of this technology as soon as possible to stay relevant to the current generations, the future generations, and that huge digital missionary field out there. Digital missionary field. Plug for my book that I just said right there.
I did that. It'll be in the show notes. So make sure you check out Jason's new book. All of them are fantastic. And so I would go online, go to Amazon and search Jason Caston. You will find an assortment of great resources for your church. I got one more question for you because you brought up Jay Kranda.
Yeah.
And we could go all day about embarrassing Jay Kranda stories and we'll save that for another episode. So Jay and I are having a little debate online and on Twitter about Twitter. And is it okay to buy Twitter followers? Great debate among Christians. An interesting debate. What's your take on buying Twitter followers?
Okay, here's an example I used at a conference. And I said, hey, if you the social media is about the relationship, okay? So if you take time to build the relationship, the results may be slower as you get organic followers, but the relationship is much more deep. You could pay for the relationship, get a faster, much, you know, quicker reaction, but it won't be a deep relationship. Comparing that to building a real relationship with like my wife or, you know, Christians didn't like this, paying for a relationship in Vegas and having the, you know, quick results there. But of course, it's not being a long-term thing. So that's how I compare buying followers to versus developing real relationships. The focus is not the numbers, not the quantity, it's the quality of it.
That's a strong comparison right there. And so I think we know where you stand. It's a good debate. I appreciate your speaking into it and an interesting perspective. And as the world changes, and honestly, Twitter might be irrelevant soon because I heard that grandparents are the number one new demographic on Twitter. And so they're the fastest growing demographic on Twitter. So if parents are already there and now grandparents are there, we might as well say goodbye to the millennials on Twitter. So we'll see how everything develops. You and I are both Twitter guys and love that platform. Mm-hmm. And so I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. Thanks for your time, Jason. Thanks for the work you're doing in the kingdom.
I appreciate you, my friend. And of course, as always, it's good talking with you. I'm going to be seeing you real soon. And of course, we never go that long without talking to each other. So this is just us having a conversation that we let everybody else in on.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Check out the show notes to find out more about Jason and about the show and other episodes at socialmedia.church. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.